Good morning to all this morning. Truly it is a blessing to be able to come together one more time to lift up the name of the Lord and to give him the praise that he so deserves. And we honor and thank and count it a blessing this morning to be able to be in the midst, because God is good. He's been so good. I'm not going to hold you long this morning, but we would like to have you turn with us, if you please, to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And we're going to read beginning at the 19th verse down through 25. While we get in that, we just want to say we give honor, first of all, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Pastor Jay, amen, who truly blessed us on yesterday with a powerful and wonderful message, amen. I wanted to say I was truly blessed, and we were thrilled after that meeting, and we look forward to future gatherings. If you're there, Hebrew, the 10th chapter, and begin our reading at verse 19. I'm in the NIV, and it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open it for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and goal and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Amen. And we want to, us this morning, to look for our thought to that 22nd verse in this passage of Scripture. And it says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith." Let us say assurance. "Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." And we want to speak with you this morning on this passage of Scripture from a very well-known and famous hymn that we so often sing, "Blessed Assurance." Blessed assurance. Let us pray. Most holy and everlasting Father, we come this morning. Lord, coming this morning, looking to the hills from which cometh our help, knowing that all of our help come from thee. And Lord, as we come and gather together in your holy name, we pray that you'll be, Lord, in our midst, you will lead us and guide us and direct us. Allow this mere man to decrease, Heavenly Father, as you increase. We pray, Lord, that your word will come forth, Lord God, with clarity, with purity, with power, that it may be food for the souls of our people. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to use us and lead us and guide us day by day. And we ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Blessed assurance. Let us ask ourselves this morning, Do I have assurance or insurance? You see, they both sound similar, and they both have a similar meaning. Matter of fact, most of us have various types of insurance. We have life insurance, which really is, I always say, death insurance. We have health insurance. We have insurance for specific illnesses like cancer. We have insurance on our automobiles in case we're in an accident or our car gets stolen or vandalized. We have insurance on our homes and property in case it gets burnt down or blown down, flooded or broken into. Our monies are insured. Our loans are insured. Every aspect of our lives can be insured for a fee. The insurance, the thing about these insurances, we know they can take weeks or months to take effect, and they can be canceled in a matter of seconds. This insurance we're talking about here has stipulations on it. We have circumstances that can cause it to be revoked, nullified, become non-existent. Insurance is important, of course, to all of us to have. But the most important insurance we need to have don't cost us anything, because Jesus has already paid the cost. Matter of fact, in John 3rd chapter 16, 17 verse, say, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, his only son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that to be saved through him. And then going on in Ephesians, around the second chapter, it says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. You see, what we're talking about here is that he gives us real life insurance. It's God-given insurance. And when we accept Christ in our lives as our Lord and Savior, amen, this insurance comes with something that's very and more important. And that something is called assurance. You see, insurance is man-made that we're talking about, but assurance is God-obtained. Insurance is revocable, whereas assurance is undeniable. Insurance can be costly, but assurance is free. Insurance has limitations, amen, whereas assurance is limitless. Say, blessed assurance. See, my brothers and sisters, assurance is not based on anything that we do, but insurance has everything to do with what we do. Question this morning, do you have assurance? Do you have assurance that if you died today, that you would end up in heaven with our Lord and Savior? Or do you have the type of insurance that many are believing, thinking that as long as you do the right thing, as long as you pay your tithes, as long as you go to church, that you'll end up in heaven? As reminded in Ephesians, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. You see, some people believe that they can do their work and they can work their way into heaven. But you see, there's nothing that we can do. You can pay all your premiums with good works that you want, but that's not going to earn us a way into heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven, and Jesus paid that premium in full by giving his life on an old rugged cross on a hill called Calvary. Jesus was meeting with his disciples and preparing to let them know of his departure. When he was speaking to the disciples, he told them, disciples, that he was going away to prepare a place for them. And Thomas asked Jesus, "How do we get to this place?" And Jesus told and replied to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, the question, amen, for somebody this morning is, do you want that assurance? Do you want security that man's insurance cannot give? Do you want assurance that cannot be purchased? Do you want assurance that cannot be denied? You see, with this insurance, with this assurance that we're talking about this morning, we can sing, amen, perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior are happy and blessed. And I don't know about anyone else this morning, but I'm watching and I'm waiting and I'm looking above because I have been filled with his goodness and I rest in his love. You see, this, my brothers and sisters, is what we experience as Christians when we understand the assurance that we have in Christ Jesus. You see, in our text this morning on that 22nd verse, it tells us to let us draw near with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith. In full assurance of faith. The blessed assurance comes, you see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're, and not only that, but we become anchored in the Word of God. Blessed assurance comes when we're able to face difficulties, but we know that God can do nothing but fail. Blessed assurance comes when sorrows come, but we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And blessed assurance comes knowing that after we've done all that we know to do, that all we need to do is just stand. And blessed assurance comes when your hope is built on nothing less than the blood of Jesus. And finally, blessed assurance comes when we know and when we understand that all things work together for good for them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. You see, many who profess today to be Christians, they sing that wonderful hymn that was written by a woman by the name of Fanny J. Crosby, Blessed Assurance. But they do not have that assurance in their hearts. In other words, they sing Blessed Assurance, but as we said before, do they really mean it? In other words, do they have that assurance that if they die today, that they would go to heaven? And as a result of that situation, they have no joy. Their lives are filled with worry and uncertainty. But we know, and we must understand that blessed assurance is the assurance that we have that God is with us. You see, we have to have that. We have that assurance that He's protecting and He's guiding us, no matter what situation we face or we have to go through day by day. You see, it's not based or something, it's not a benefit that you receive, amen, after something happened, say, with a life insurance or with an insurance. Something has to take place. Death has to take place before the insurance becomes effect. You have to be in an accident before the automobile insurance will be useful or beneficial to you. Amen? It's not something that we have to wait until we get to heaven to reap the benefit of having assurance. Amen? But it is something that comes, and we can have it as from the moment we receive it through our life. That's why Jesus said, "I came that you may have life, and you may have it more abundantly." We can enjoy the benefit. We can reap the benefits of having this type of assurance. Amen. Day by day. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, if we look at the Apostle Paul, he gives us a great example of what it means to have this assurance, this blessed assurance that we're talking about. Amen. In that 20, around the, I believe around the 23rd chapter, and down through the 27th chapter, we find Paul, who had been arrested, and he had requested to go to Rome before Caesar. And we understand, we find in that 23rd chapter that God had already promised him, amen, and told him that he would go to Rome, amen. But before they departed, Paul had warned them that they should not sail or go at that time. Amen? As you know the story, how they got out and they got caught up in this powerful storm. Amen? I guess would be similar to what we call a hurricane or a cyclone today. And they had gone and they were to the point where they were fearing for their lives. But let's see what it says here in a few verses in that 27th chapter of Acts, how Paul was filled with assurance, amen, and had that assurance and was at peace. He says, that 20 verse, after the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Where he says in the 23rd verse, he said, "Last night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. This is assurance. Paul had assurance of God's presence. He had assurance of God's promise. He had the assurance of God's plan. And most of all, the assurance of God's power. Amen. You see, we too have that assurance that the Holy Spirit bring to us and guide us and give us when Christ, amen, becomes the head of our lives. Amen. And as I close here, we want to take a look, amen, closely at this great hymn that we so often sing. Amen. Blessed Assurance. The first verse, amen, of that song says, Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Go on to say, heirs of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. You see, the first verse here, find, amen, we might say a proclamation that there's something wonderful about being assured that Jesus is ours. In other words, it makes it personal. As she said, Jesus is mine. Amen. The fact that we have, and we should have, if we don't have, a very intimate relationship with him. Amen. And when we do that, that gives us that glimpse of what lies ahead for us. Amen. When we meet him. Amen. Our lives today should offer, in other words, a foretaste of God's glory. Well, how does that happen? You see, every time that God does something for you, whether that is through answering a prayer or providing you with protection or healing you from illness or disease, when you feel a need that you have, you are experiencing God's glory. When you stand in the gap for somebody else, you know, through your prayers or through your giving, you're allowing God's glory to flow through you to touch the life of someone else. And when you come into the presence of God, when you're meditating, when you come and you get into his presence, when you feel that feeling of glory, where it seemed like the hair is standing up on your on the neck and your head or something. It's a feeling that you cannot explain with words. Amen. Then you're allowing and him to be there, and you're experiencing what they call a foretaste of God's glory. Whenever someone comes to you, amen, for help, and you go to God and you pray and you ask God, what should, amen, you do? How should you counsel them? And God immediately tells you, and you recognize his voice. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and God speak to you. Amen. You are experiencing a foretaste of God's glory, which is divine. Amen. And the last line says that we are heirs of salvation and have been purchased by God, who are born of his spirit and washed in his blood. Amen? In other words, each of these acts is a transformation. It's us being transformed from what we were, amen, to whom we are and what we will be, amen? Because there's another song that we're singing that says, I want to be just like him when he comes. Amen. Amen. The salvation has been granted to us because God, amen, he purchased us through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, amen, whom shared his blood out on Calvary one day. And through Jesus' blood, we have also been born of his spirit, amen. Remember, we have the Holy Spirit working through us, because we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? Many people, they want to judge people by their past, and we say that the past actions are good indicators of their future actions. But when it comes to our relationship with God, that does not apply, because God, amen, our past, when we turn our lives over to Christ, amen, he wipes away that past, that life that we've had and all that we've done, that is wiped clean, amen. And when we save, our past selves are cleansed, and God began to see us whom we have become and whom we will be. And as we continue on to look at this great hymn, the last verses in that hymn, Blessed Assurance, says the following. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I, my Savior, am happy and blessed. And go on and say, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. See, Miss Crosby, who was blind, amen, amen, amen. She caught our relationship with Christ, amen, in this verse. And the price must be paid for us to have this blessed assurance. And the price that we have is just submission. We must submit to Christ. Our submission, amen, what it does, it releases our strong will over to him. In other words, when we submit, we are saying that although I know what I want to do and how to do it, I'm going to yield to you, Jesus, for you to do it your way. That's why James 4th chapter, 7th verse tell us to submit, therefore, to God. He won't tell us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. So consider this verse in light of what the author wrote in the song, submitting our lives to Christ. When we do that, we can begin to rest in him. We will begin to have peace in our lives through him. It equips us and allow us to face the trials and tribulations, amen. We do it. We're able to turn it over to him, knowing that he is going to take care of us, knowing that he is going to bring us out, knowing that he has all the power to bring us through. It is only when we can do this will we get to the point Amen. What she said, what she wrote, I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above with his goodness, amen, and lost in his love, amen. We've all gone through times, amen, when we may have had some doubts or lost focus, but the more we understand that Christ, amen, what Christ is doing in our lives, the more we're able to take rest in the assurance that things is going to be okay. Amen? You see, 2020, we've gone through some things. We witnessed some things. And even today, amen, we're witnessing things that are going on around us. Amen. And things that are affecting our way of life. Amen. But we have a reason, my brothers and sisters, to give praise, amen, to God this year and for right now. We have a reason to give God thanks, amen, every day of the year. So we want to encourage you, the next time you sing the song, Blessed Assurance, think about what the words are truly saying. Amen. Amen. And we'll also be able to close as we sing that song. Amen. This is my story. And this is my song. Amen. Praising my Savior all the day long. May God bless you and may God keep you. And we just want to hear a word from Sister Shirley Caesar. And it be in the hands of our pastor. May God bless you and may God keep you. Thank you.
God bless you. May God keep you. Pastor Jay.